Okay, Parashat Ki Tetzé. There's so much in this parasha. I don't even know where to start from. I mean, I do. We're going to start from Ben Sorer Moreh. That's where we're going to start from. So let's read a few psukim. Let's learn a little chumash. Ki yeh le'ish ben Sorer Moreh, enenu shomea b'kol aviv v'kol imo, v'yisiru oto v'lo yishma lehem. Okay? So if there will be for a man, this Ben Sorer Moreh, this troubled child, doesn't listen to his father or to his mother, and they will punish him, and they will not listen, and he will not listen. They would take him out to the elders of the city. This person, he's not listening to us. He's a zolel v'sove. He eats, you know, a tremendous amount, and he's very, you know, impulsive and etc. Urgamuhu kolanche iro ba'avanim, and they stoned him. Vamet, and he died. Uviarta hara mikivecha, and you should abolish the bad from within you. V'chol Yisrael yishmu v'irau, and all of Am Yisrael should see and be scared. Okay, pretty straightforward, right? Pretty straightforward. Sounds pretty evil to me. No. Last thing we need right now is for a goy to come to us and say, "Ha, the Jews are pro violence. They are pro violence. They're not pro peace. Look what they do to the child. They don't even give him a chance." Listen to this, Rashi. V'yisru oto. Rashi says, "What does it mean v'yisru oto? Matrin bo bifnei shlosha u'malkin oto." They warn him in front of three people, and they give him malkut. Ben sorer moreh. Listen to this. Eno chayav. Okay, he's not chayav until he does, you know, X, Y, and Z, until he fulfills the requirements. Now listen to this. Rashi says, "Uben sorer umare ne'rag al shem sofo." He's killed. We put him to death based on what he will eventually do. Lashes. He's given. He's put to death based on what? What he will do. The Torah was able to not predict, even stronger than predict. It was able to understand and guarantee that Sof Shemichalev Amon Aviv, his end is what? He's gonna make disappear all the money of his father. He's gonna be a troublemaker on the roads. Amra Torah, the Torah said, Yamut Zakai V'al Yamut Chayav. It's better that he die now while he's still innocent than for us to have to kill him later on when he's guilty. Question number one. Is this not contradictory to all of Judaism's beliefs? Do we not believe in tshuva? Do we not believe in free will? That a Jew, every single Jew, no matter how low he drops, still has the ability to pick himself up and fix all the mistakes that he's done? Is this not contrary to everything that we believe in? Yeah, very quickly, briefly.
I think that's actually why the Chazal interpreted so narrowly.
Good point. That's why they interpreted so narrowly. That's fine. But again, our belief system tells us that no matter, I mean, at least this is the way I grew up, that no matter what you do, you can fix it. You can fix it. Right? Like, just like a famous Gemara. Kol od haner dolek, efshar letaken. Right? As long as the candle is still lit, there's still more work to do. I could still fix something. Let's see the Gemara in Sanhedrin. It's going to throw another monkey wrench in here. Amar Rabbi Shimon. This is the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph. Amar Rabbi Shimon. V'chi mipne she'achal zeh tatemar basar shtachatzi lo gyayin ha'italki aviv ha'imo ha'motziin oto tesalko. Ela lo aya v'lo atid liyot. Rather, what does the Gemara say? The story of the Ben Sorer Moreh, it has never happened, nor will it ever happen. So just something, I have a bone to pick with this Gemara. You want to tell me a historical fact that it never happened? Beseder. Fine. Somehow the Amoraim and the Gemara knew or Tana, I don't know who it is, knew that it didn't happen in the past. It's never happened in the past. Okay, somehow he has evidence to prove that. Beseder. But how can he make such a bold statement that it's never, ever, ever, ever going to happen? It will never happen. Now you're going to tell me, yeah, because we don't have a court system. Da, 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 da. No, he's saying this person who is a Ben Sorer Moreh, that we would go and kill him, it will never happen. What, you could tell the future? What does that mean? What are the questions now? We have not so much time and a lot to do. Tefillah. Hold it till afterwards. What's going on over here? So what's pshat with this Gemara? That's question number one. That's really question number two. Question number one is, we're not giving him a second chance. Again, where's free will? Where's tshuva? Where's our belief system? Yeah, good. Two questions. So this is an unbelievable pshat. Maybe some of you are thinking it already, or beginning to think it. When the Gemara was introduced, but listen to this. This pshat was said, I heard it, in the name of Rav Avram Shapira. Avram Shapira was the Ashkenazi chief rabbi during the same time that Rav Mordechai Eliyahu was a Sephardic chief rabbi. Right? It was in the 80s, 1983 to be exact. And he says like this. This is the reason why it never happened, and the reason why it will never happen, is because it's impossible. It will never happen because it's impossible. Why? Because it's impossible for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give up hope on a Jew. That's why. It will never happen. There is always room for tshuva. Our question that we ask is really the answer. It's never happened before because it's impossible. It will never happen because it's impossible. For Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to give up on a neshama, impossible. Impossible. So why does it say it? To show us that it's impossible. That's why it says it. It gives us, brings down the whole parasha of Ben Sorer Moreh. And the Gemara tells us, comments on the whole topic of Ben Sorer Moreh. It's never happened before. You know why it's never happened before? Because it's impossible. So the reason why the Torah brought it is to show us the following is impossible. It can never happen. For a Kadosh Baruch Hu to give up on a soul, it will never happen. That's the whole purpose, according to this understanding. It's a wild understanding, because it really takes the pshat of the whole topic of Ben Sorer Moreh and flips it upside down. And it says, all these halachot, and all the mishnayot, and all the dapim of Gemara, that the Gemara speaks out, the whole reason why it's there is to show us that all of the above can never happen, will never happen. Period. No ifs, ands, or buts. Is that an amazing pshat? Yes. Is that an amazing pshat? And maybe we could say that this is also why, you know, we always like making connections within the same parasha before, parasha after. So in the same parasha we have what? Amalek. Go and destroy Amalek. What's the connection between Amalek and the parasha of Ben Sorer Moreh? The answer is, in the way that the pasuk describes Amalek back in Parashat Beshalach, what does it say? So look at the next source. This is in Parashat Beshalach, Perek Yud Zayin, pasuk Zayin and Chet. It says, "Vayikra Hashem Makom Masa Umriva," right? And he called that place Masa Umriva. Why? Al Riv Bnei Israel, on the argument, the machloket that Bnei Israel had at that place, at that location, Val Nasotam, and on the fact that they tested Hashem, Lemor. They doubted Hashem's existence. They doubted Hashem's dominion over them. And they said, Hayesh Hashem bekirbenu imayim? Is there a Hashem from within us? Is there a Hashem within us? Said, is Hashem really here with us? The next pasuk says what? Vayavo Amalek vayelachem Yisrael berfidim. Amalek comes. Now, is it a coincidence that Dafka, after Masa Meriba, after they said, is there a Hashem within us, then Amalek came? Yeah, maybe it's a coincidence. Chas v'shalom, it's not a coincidence. Amalek came directly afterwards. Why? Because that was the cause of Amalek coming. The cause of Amalek coming to attack Am Yisrael is why? Because they doubted if Hashem was resting within them. They doubted if Hashem really believed in them anymore or not. That's why Amalek is bigematria, safek, doubt. Amalek is doubt. What's doubt? Jews doubt themselves if Hashem is with them or not. They look at their sins, they look at their avarot, they look at their own ben tzorer or morer within themselves, and they say, maybe Hashem gave up on me. Maybe Hashem is focusing on my avarot, and he gave up, he lost hope in me. When you think that, that's when Amalek comes. When you begin doubting, that's when Amalek comes. That's when Vayavo Amalek. So people think of Am Yisrael, that we still exist here today. And many ask the question of why, how? How is it possible? Is it a coincidence? Maybe, maybe not. Listen to what Rav Tzadok HaKohen Milublin has to say. This will blow you away. He begins, this is Rav Tzadok HaKohen Milublin, in a sefer called Divrei Sofrim Ot Tetzain, says like this. It begins. I'm sorry.
What's the question?
What do you mean? What's the question? Oh no, he's not commenting on this. He's not. That was just thrown in on its own. This is separate. It's nothing. I mean, it's going to be connected, but there's no question. No question that we're just inflating this yisod that we're developing. So Tzadok HaKohen Milublin says like this. This will blow you away. He says, he begins by saying, "En li Yehudi leityayesh mishum davar." A Jew should not be giving up on anything, giving up hope on anything. So I don't know if this is on your sheet, but I skipped it because I wanted to fit it all on one page. He says, "Ben b'yanei aguf." Whether it's on physical matters, like it says in the Gemara, "Afilu cherev chadal tzavaro alim name archamim." If there's chasuf tolem, a Nazi officer that comes and puts a gun to your head, you should not give up hope. Whether it's binyanei nefesh, afilu shtakel makom shenishtakel v'chata, even if he reached a very, very, very low spiritual place that he's never been to before, you should not give up hope of tshuva. Right? And etc. He should never give up hope. Listen to this. Bichol, this you have over there. Listen, you gotta see this inside. Bichol binyan umaha Israelit, haya achar hayush gamur. The whole startup, the whole creation of Am Yisrael, it was created from a place of giving up hope. From a situation of yush. Where did Am Yisrael begin? From who did it begin? Who? No. Am Yisrael. Who is the first born Jew that was born? Who is the first one that was born Jewish? Yitzchak. Avram wasn't born Jewish, he converted, right? He got a Brit Milah afterwards. The first born Jew was Yitzchak. So now we have to investigate in how, because the Maral says, in order to see the nature of a certain matter, you have to see how it was in the beginning. And based on how it was in the beginning, that's really going to set the tone for how it will be for the rest of its existence. So how was Judaism, what was the nature of Judaism at the beginning, at the whole start? So Tzadok HaKohen says, the beginning of Judaism happened, it was created from a place of Yeush. What does it mean? The Avraham and Sarah Zakenim. Avraham and Sarah were both very old. They all laughed. Everyone laughed when they looked at Avraham and Sarah. Them having kids? No. Shelo alal dat adam od la'amin ze. It wasn't even an afterthought that Avraham and Sarah would have kids. Even after the malach came and said, Sarah, you're going to have a kid. Yada ve'emina da'ashem itbarach. Sarah knew she was a big tzaddikah. She knew that Hashem is capable of everything. Ve'im kol zeh, despite that, tzachaka bekirba, she laughed. She didn't believe. She'ayah rachok etzla la'amin zeh, b'idiyah zekenit. Avraham netochen ve'eno polet, kmo she'amru, v'chen ziknata. It was far from believing, far from belief. She was old. Avraham was old. They were incapable. The Midrash says that Avraham, he lacked the limbs to produce, to reproduce. He didn't have the proper limbs. Sarah was physically not able to have a child. Ve'im haya ratzon Hashem itbarach lepokdam, haya pokdam mikodem, v'lmaet b'nes adif. If Hashem really wanted them to have kids, what would he do? How would he give kids to Sarah and to Abraham? He would do it in a natural way, because Hashem always likes minimizing in miracles, right? Hashem always likes minimizing in miracles. He always does things in natural ways. Sometimes he does things in miracles to show a lesson. What's the lesson over here? He worked it in a magical way, in an unnatural way. What did he do? Aval be'emet me'et Hashem ha'itazot. Hashem did it purposely. Hashem purposely made it that the way Yitzchak would be born would be in this way. She'yeh binyan ha'uma, that the whole construction of Am Yisrael should be dafka achar yush gamur. Dafka when? After giving up all hope. Dafka, at that point, the point where you give up completely, dafka then, that's where Am Yisrael begins. Shelo hemin shum adam va'afilu sarah she'itpaked od. Ki zeh kol ha'adam ha'yisraeli. This is the nature of every single Jew. Le'amin, to believe. She'en li'tiayesh klal. Never to give up hope. De'lo'olam Hashem yitbarach yachol la'azor. Because Hashem is always capable of helping. The way that Am Yisrael was born had to be in this way. Why? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu could show us that a Yehudi should never give up hope. The birth of Am Yisrael was at a place of giving up hope. What that means is that for the rest of life, for the rest of the existence of this world, it's in our blood not to give up hope at every single moment, and to believe that Hashem, dafka at that time when there's nothing left, when there's nothing left, all hope is gone, all hope disappears, dafka then Hashem says, I can do it, I can do it. Isn't that amazing, guys? Is that amazing? Doesn't give you goosebumps? This is tzado? Doesn't give you goosebumps? This is really a pasuk that's beferush. In Parashat Nitzavim, what does it say? Im yeh nidachacha b'kzeh ha-shamayim, if your own personal exile would be b'kzeh ha-shamayim, at the corner of the shamayim of the sky, misham yikabetzcha Hashem elokecha, misham yikachecha. Hashem will come there and take you. If you're in the shamayim, you feel like your shamayim is so far away from Hashem. It's all the way on the corner, the edge of the world. Misham yikabetzcha u'misham yikachecha. Dafka, from there Hashem will gather you, will bring you in, and He will take you. He'll gather you in and take you. So Rabbi, I want to come to a close this amazing pshat in this Gemara, set over by the Rav of Soloveitchik. The Gemara says like this. We all know the famous story of Elisha ben Avuya, also known as Acher. Elisha ben Avuya, the famous Tana, one of the greatest Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, went off the derech and developed this nickname called Acher, the other one. So one of his top Talmidim, Elisha ben Avuya, one of his top Talmidim was Rabbi Meir Balanes. While he was a holy Tana, while Elisha ben Avuya was a holy Tana, one of his main Talmidim was Rabbi Meir Balanes. Just parenthetically, I have to tell you this amazing pshat, just because we're in the topic of Meir Balanes and Elisha ben Avuya, right? What happened was, he was one of them. So what happened was that one of the Amoraim, I forget who it was, went to Shemaim, and he saw in Shemaim that Kadosh Baruch Hu and all of the Tzva Shemaim, all the hosts in the heaven, were learning everyone's teachings except for Rabbi Meir. Shem wasn't learning Rabbi Meir's Torah, right? So he asked around, he asked some of the chevra there in Shemaim, he said, what's going on? He's learning everyone's Torah but Rav Meir's? Meir Balanes is one of the greatest Tanaim. So they answered, yeah, Hashem doesn't want to learn his Torah because, nothing's wrong with him, but I don't know, it doesn't sound too good. Why? Because his Rebbe was Elisha ben Avuya, was Acher, and went off the derech, right? So this Amora said to whoever it was, one of the Malachim, said, yeah, but Rabbi Meir, Rimon Matza, Periolaka, Klipato Zarak. What does that mean? He found a pomegranate. He threw away the outer layer, the outer shell. He threw that away, and he took the fruits from inside. What's the nimshal? The nimshal is he took the good things from Elisha ben Avuya, and he filtered out the bad things. He was his top talmid when he was Elisha ben Avuya, but when he started going off the derech, he stopped. He filtered everything that he heard out of his mouth, right? So the way this Mamar Chazal goes is that they say that whoever was in Shemaim said, oh, you know what? Good point. And from that point on, Hashem and everyone in Shemaim started learning the teachings of Meir Baal HaNes. So it says the Tiferet Shlomo. What's going on over here? You know? Like, Hashem didn't know that already? This is like gibberish over here. What is that? Childish things? He says, no. From here we learn what? That when you judge someone favorably, you cause that in Shemaim they judge him favorably. Famous Reb Nachman Reish Pebet, right? Tiferet Shlomo says it also. Because when you judge someone favorably, it causes that in Shemaim they judge him favorably. Even though you're not teaching them any new information, any new factual information, you're telling them things that they already know. But there's a spiritual energy called Dan Lekaf Zchut. And when you judge someone favorably, this Amora went and judged the Meir Baal HaNes favorably, even though Hashem knew that already. But the fact that he was Dan Lekaf Zchut to Meir causes that what? That in Shemaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges a Meir favorably, and now he began learning his Torah. Parenthetical. Put that on the side. Back to our topic over here. Meir Baal HaNes, he once saw Elisha ben Avuya. I'm not going to read it, sorry, just going to speak it out. He saw it, and he told him, listen, why are you riding a horse on Yom Kippur? Do tshuva. What did he answer? What did Acher answer? He said, I can't do tshuva anymore. Why? Shamati me'achareya pargod. I heard from behind the heavenly curtains that shuvu banim shovavim, that Hashem called out to all of Am Yisrael, shuvu banim shovavim, troubled children, do tshuva, come back to me. Chutz me'acher. Except for Acher. He said, I heard it with my own ears. My tshuva will never be accepted. He said. So Meir said, good point. Good point. Says of Soloveitchik, his problem was what? That what he heard was, shuvu banim shovavim chutz me'acher. Acher cannot do tshuva. Elisha ben Avuya, his tshuva will be accepted. Acher's tshuva will not be accepted. That's someone else. But a different person called Elisha ben Avuya, his tshuva will be accepted. And that was his mistake. That's what he heard. That he thought, I'm a completely different person now. I'm a completely different person now, and I can't do tshuva. No! You're the same Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya could do tshuva. Hashem will never reject someone's tshuva. He will never, never, never reject it. Is that an amazing shot? So there's a story that I read about this non-religious Jew, a young Jewish woman from a totally, totally chiloni background. She was a little curious. She went traveling around the world. She said, you know what? Let me go visit Israel. Everyone's talking about Israel. Let me go visit Israel. While she was there, she went to the Kotel, the Western Wall, and she thought to herself, yeah, let me go here. You know, what's a big deal? While she was there, you know, one of the religious women over there saw her and said, why don't you come to a Shiur Torah? Why don't you come? You know, this, that. She said, I don't want to come to a Shiur Torah. Leave me alone. Come on. And reluctantly, she came to a Shiur Torah. But in the Shiur Torah, what happened to have been taught during that Shiur was the mitzvah of Hashavat Avedah. Hashavat Avedah, returning a lost object to its owner. And all the halachot of Hashavat Avedah happens to be it's in this week's parasha as well. Hashavat Avedah, okay, she said, this doesn't do anything for me. This religion is not for me. Goodbye. She continued her tour around the world. And she made it to the Far East. and joined the Buddhist sect, where she became a student of a guru. On one occasion, one time, they were walking together, and the guru, her Rebbe, her Hasidish Rebbe, saw what? A wallet on the floor. Right? What did the guru Rebbe do? He picked it up, and he said, "Ha! Finders keepers." Puts it in his pocket. So she was so surprised. She said, "I don't understand. Like, what are you doing with the wallet?" So I told you, finders keepers. It's my wallet now. But then suddenly she had a flashback to what? To that class that she reluctantly went to back in Yerushalayim a few months back. And right away, she started thinking, she started appreciating the sensitivity of the Torah and the sensitivity of the lessons of the Torah and how it was so sensitive to the properties of other people. And then she realized that what? That there may be something to it, that she's Jewish. She said, the fact that I'm feeling this right now, the fact that I have this feeling, this sensitivity, even though I don't believe in anything, but I was taught this, and it was in the back of my head, and the fact that I have a sensitivity toward this, it shows me something. And she began with her path onto a religious life. That's the way the story goes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never give up on a Jew. If it means sending you a message here, sending a message there, making a wallet drop in the Far East while you're walking with your guru leader, he'll do it. If it means sending a rabbi knocking on your door and giving you a blessing that you should have a Shana Tova Umtuka, and you say, "Wow, what, such a beautiful rabbi," he'll do it. If it means a Chabadnik walking on the way, coming to you and saying, "Tzadik, Tasim Tfilin," he'll do it. If it means a Breslov guy that we just saw on Amsterdam Avenue today in a Toyota Prius, there are a few Breslov guys that got out, blasted their techno music, got out of their car, and started dancing with people right outside MTA, he'll do it. Whatever it means to turn you back on to religion, Kadosh Baruch Hu will do it. Why? Because Shuvu Banim Shavavim Chutz Me'acher, but not Chutz Me'elisha Ben Avuya. Not Chutz Me'elisha Ben Avuya. Let's take that lesson of the Ben Sorer Moreh, that not that it never happened and it never will happen, it's a prediction. It's impossible to happen. Not possible. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give up on a Jew. It's not possible. Have a great night, everyone. Chazak Baruch.